Today's reading comes from Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, I think. But there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do for this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah or Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So he, Jesus, came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place that people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll proclaim all these things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Then his disciples came, and they were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" And then the woman left her water jar and went back into the city. And she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" He left his city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. And when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we've heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." May God lend and bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. The man to whom she's not married, and details like that get us all sidetracked. One insinuation about sex and we're gone. Our minds are just gone. But this story is about much more than sex. Much, much more. It's about where people get their salvation. Where people draw eternal life. That's what the whole point of this passage is. And the question is, do we draw salvation ourselves, or does it bubble up for us? One path involves toil and accomplishment. The other involves surge and resurgence caused by forces we can't control. I know you've probably heard lots of sermons about how Jesus reached out to a Samaritan woman and to the Samaritan people, which was against the rules. The Samaritans were the remnants of the former northern kingdom, and they were almost like enemies to the so-called good people of the former southern kingdom that lived down in places like Jerusalem. And Jesus goes over and breaks those barriers and starts talking to her, which is commendable. And he even stays there for 2 days, which is also commendable. He stays there and ministers to them just like he ministers to everybody else. He talks to the people that nobody's supposed to talk to. And they talk about, where do you worship? Where's the best place to go worship? And he says the time is coming and now is when it's not really going to matter where you go to worship. It's not this mountain or that mountain. It's not this city or that city. It's wherever God is, which is everywhere. In fact, I took some continuing ed classes in January, and that was one of the principles that they were teaching us. You know, it's not that something I didn't know already, but just a reminder, God's everywhere. And all we need is the right antenna to hear God speaking, or just the right connection to hear what God is saying. It's not like you have to go to this mountain, or this sacred place, or that sacred place. I mean, we do it to have the imagery. I've prayed in this sanctuary before. I pray out at the Abbey of the Genesee. I've gone on retreats. I sometimes go to the lake and look at that and consider all those things holy and special places. I understand that. But really, God is everywhere, and it's just a matter of getting the right antenna to listen to what God is saying. And Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter where you go, you can find God anywhere, and he will make that possible. But I think if we leave the woman out of this, and we even give where to worship out of this, there's one point that Jesus is trying to make, and he's contrasting the man-made well and the God-made spring. In 1973, 50 years ago, this year, my mom's here today, so she can verify this story. Mom and Dad moved us to Jasper, New York. It should have been a familiar town. Nicholas Bratzman started the town way back when. He cleared a path from Addison to Jasper with an axe and then set up a tavern. So that's my heritage. I know where that tavern was. It's no longer standing. I know where he is buried. That cemetery is still there. But to us, it was like a new place. We'd been living in the suburbs of Rochester all of my life, basically, for 9 years. And Mom and Dad bought an old farmhouse, and it had well water in it. And the water was putrid. It smelled of sulfur, really strong. And while we were waiting for the water to get better with some kind of a system or treatment system or something, some way to get the water tasting better in that place, we would go to Troopsburg. That's where my grandparents lived, and there was a spring there. We'd load up the 67 Chevy wagon full of jugs, old milk bottles, everything we could find, and we'd take it to this spring that was by the road in Troopsburg. And water was pouring out of the spring. There was like a little hose. The way I picture it, it's like a hose stuck out of the side of a hill or out of some rock. There was this hose, and water just kept pouring out of that day and night. There's no spigot. You don't turn it on or turn it off. The water just keeps coming. And what you do is you take your clean jugs and you just put it underneath the hose. And it drains into your plastic jug until it's full. Then you put it in the station wagon, you go get more. And we weren't the only people there. There were lots of people coming from all over, it seemed like, to get water at this spring. And, it was just amazing to me. That water keeps running. Once our jugs are full and once we drive away, that water's still running all day. All night, it never stops. And then, a few days later, we'd go back and get some more, maybe a week, and there it was, still flowing, still providing water, and good-tasting water, too. And I don't know if that's still flowing. I can't locate it now in the present day. I don't know if that spring, is it still going? Okay, so we're talking almost 50 years later, it's still going. Think about that. Seems kind of like a waste, isn't it? Why isn't somebody bottling that water? Why don't we have Troopsburg spring water all over why isn't this Troopsburg spring water that we have today? And when Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman in the book of John, she's drawing from a well, not a spring. And wells are different. We had a well with sulfuric water. By the way, this well, Jacob's well, it's not mentioned in the Old Testament at all. I mean, there's a Jacob, clearly, in the Old Testament. And he has a son, Joseph, clearly, in the Old Testament. Those guys are well known. But the fact that they went to a well and that Jacob watered his herd there, none of that is listed in the Old Testament. So when the Jewish folks look at that site, that well, they'd give it no historical significance because there's nothing in the Old Testament, that their Bible, that says that anything happened there. But obviously, to Christians, that's an important site. This is where Jesus encountered the Samaritan woman. And so now a church has been built over it. And I'm going to ask Jeff to cue up a video of that site right now. And you can see it on the screen.
Kilometers from Jerusalem, there is a place that can make us take a real trip back in time. It takes you back 4,000 years. We are in the heart of Samaria, in the town of Abraham and Jacob, where today this church is located, where Jacob built a well for the needs of his family and his flock. This is the place where, as recounted in the New Testament, Jesus met the Samaritan woman. The text tells us that Jesus had to come through here. He needed to meet this woman. He wanted to make her aware of the gift he had for her. He told her, "Woman, if you had known the gift of God and who it is who is asking you to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus wanted to awaken in her the desire of faith and the desire to know him. The Jacob's Well is still revered and active. This was the place where Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "I thirst," and he was not talking about actual water. The water from the well to which Jesus referred is not the actual water itself, but the gift that he bears in himself, the gift of faith, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, which this woman needed to discover in order to give meaning to her life. We all have to meet the Lord because our land is dry and needs water, and we have this infinite thirst for God in our hearts. This biblical episode is narrated during the Mass of the third Sunday of Lent. Lent is a baptismal time par excellence, and baptismal water itself has a profoundly baptismal significance because with water we are born to our spiritual life. Water washes and cleanses. During Lent, we need to purify ourselves from everything that takes us away from God, not only from temptation, but from all that is within us that needs to be washed and purified.
And you can see the big 5-gallon bucket that was lowered down there. You know, a pint's a pound the world around, right? Isn't that what they say? So in other words, a pint of water weighs about a pound. So 5-gallon bucket, something like 40 pounds, close to that. So you ever lift up a 40-pound weight? It's kind of heavy. So you take that bucket and you lower it down on that rope and you fill that water, and then it's 40 pounds. You've got a pulley up to the top and then take that bucket and carry it. So there's a lot of muscle involved in getting that water. And then Jesus is talking about the spring, and it just flows to you. It just comes out of the mountain or wherever the source is, and the water just flows to you. When you run out, there's more. And it doesn't stop flowing. I think that that is a necessary corrective when we think about our own salvation. I'm not against good works, nor should we be. And our faith has to be such as to create good works. But we should never think of our works as the source of salvation. Because Jesus is talking about water that comes from a spring that you don't earn, that you don't work for, that you don't do for yourself. This is the free gift of God that is given to you and keeps coming from God. All you need to do is just fill up your jug and accept it. It's coming to you. An old evangelist, Lewis Casey Casebolt, would write the old song, "I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors. It sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me that life abundantly." Are you thirsty today? And again, just as Jesus was talking not about drinking water, Jesus was talking about the thirst in our souls for the presence of God, for the Spirit working in our lives. Are you thirsty today? Well, I know of a well, but I know of a spring that's coming and just keeps coming. And that spring is never going to run dry, It'll be with you on into eternity, and it'll never leave you. And Jesus talked about that spring, and he is the source of that living water that you can have. And so it requires all that you have to do is just hold out your jug and get some water. Receive the gift of free-flowing spring water from the Lord.